We turn now to Philippians chapter 3, and this passage we're spending some time to consider. And again, we're reading verse 1 of the chapter as our major theme throughout the whole chapter, and then turning to verses 12 to 16 for our portion this morning. Paul writes, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you." In verse 12, "Not that I have already obtained this," he's speaking of the resurrection of the dead, "or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Today we're going to talk a little bit about how to face and deal with the obstacles or the struggles that we see as we live the Christian life. Those who picture the Christian life simply as all success, all joy, all happiness, do not understand the world we live in, nor do they understand the call to Christian discipleship. But a race provides us with a metaphor that is helpful to understand the Christian life. We've been noticing that Paul is using that race metaphor here to describe the Christian life, and we've paused for several weeks now on this passage to seek to explore that theme a little bit, to try to understand it. We've looked at the goal to which we are pressing and what he calls us to. Last week, we looked at some of the basic guidelines in running the race. And today, we want to come back now, and if you look in your outline on page 12, you'll see we're going to look at some specific guidelines in particular times of the race. You can circle that first one. That's all we're going to get to today. We're going to do the second one next week, Lord willing. But today, what we're going to look at is this idea of, as we consider the Christian life as a race, it is a journey in a direction. What specific things do we need to keep in mind when we face troubles and difficulties, because they are sure to come? How do we face troubles and difficulties? And what do we need to keep in mind when we do that in the Christian life? We've been using as our illustration a popular modern form of race called an obstacle course race, or the Spartan race. And we're doing that because the designers of the course put particular obstacles in the way of the athletes that they have to try to accomplish in as they go to the final goal of the finish line. Now, maybe this is making sense to you and you want to taste more about what it's like to live the Christian life by jumping into a Spartan race. There is a Team Hershey PCA that's going to do a Spartan race. Right now, it's just me and John. But maybe some of you would like to join us on May 11th down in D.C. at National Park, the baseball field for the Nationals play. We're going to do a Spartan race. So you want to come and feel what the Christian life feels like. Come with us and see if we can finish. But Paul is showing us here, and using this theme of the race, the Christian life as a race, to show, while he's in prison, while he's facing a very difficult obstacle, how he can continue to press on in the midst of the struggle and difficulty and hardship and keep his eye on the goal and continue on. He's already told the Philippians that the Christian life is like this. In chapter 1, verses 29 and 30, he has described the Christian life like this. "It has been granted to you," that means given to you as a gift, "it has been given to you not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and hear that I still have. You see, he's saying the Christian life is, in one view, from one perspective, a conflict. A conflict in which we believe in him and we suffer for his sake. And now, that tells us that we face obstacles that are hard and difficult. Now, the obstacles are not the whole of the Christian life. There certainly are times of joy and happiness and fellowship and rejoicing. Worship is one of those wonderful things that we thought about last time, the gifts given to us to, in the midst of the conflict, to rest and relax and to celebrate. The trials and obstacles are not the whole of the race, but they sure do become defining moments in that race for us. And so it's important for us to know how to run through and in the midst of those obstacles. Last time, the basic guidelines for the race that applied throughout the whole race. To trust the maker of the course. God has planned it for us. To take time for rest and refreshment. He's given us the means of grace and fellowship to find help along the way. To run with others. And we said running with others means both the fellowship of the saints and inviting those who don't know Christ into the race with us. To reach out to others. And to take, and just this focus on taking the next step each day. Those are basic, the basic ways we run the Christian life. We could do say so much more, but we boiled it down to those most basic things of being a Christian in ordinary life. Now today, how do we run? What special things do we need to know when we face trouble, when we face opposition, when we face difficulty? Today I want to give you four specific guidelines for running the race in times like this, for pressing on when we're facing an obstacle that is overwhelming, that is hard, for facing when we face temptation, when we recognize we have failed. What then? In the obstacle course race, when you've picked up that bucket full of rocks and you're climbing that hill, and it just gets so hard, your arms get so tired that you think you're going to just drop it because you can't make it. Or you do drop it. What do you keep in mind then? Four guidelines for facing obstacles, or four guidelines for the Christian life in the midst of trouble and difficulty. Obstacle guideline number one. Don't argue with the maker of the course. Okay, the first basic guideline was to trust the maker of the course. Now in the midst of difficulty and trouble, the first guideline for trouble is don't argue with the maker of the course. Too often we spend all of our energy and all of our time arguing with God that the obstacles we face are unjust or just too hard for us or inappropriate that we have to do this. But you see, none of those reactions and none of that time that we spend arguing with God gets us further toward the goal to which we run. Now imagine a runner coming to that bucket climb, and there's all the buckets and the rocks, and there's the hill that they need to climb to get through to the race. Imagine them stopping and arguing with the referee. This is not fair. I didn't prepare for this. I didn't know this obstacle was on the course today. How can you expect me to do that? It's too hard. I'm not ready. Why do I have to do this obstacle? Now, we see that arguing in a race like that, it's to no point. In the end, the official's going to say, just pick up the bucket and go. It's not about the design. It's about what you need to do today. So why, as Christians, do we argue so much with the maker of our race? Why don't we see that clear in our discipleship? How do we argue with the maker of the course as Christians? Why does this thing always happen to me, God? Why me? Why do I have to face this trouble? I've tried to be good. I've tried to do what is right. Why this in my life, God? If you really loved me, why would you make me go through this? Why would you put that person in my life? We spend our time arguing with God who has designed the course for us to run. Now, if you find yourself constantly arguing with God, I think it raises an important question to ask yourself. Is God God in your life? Is God really God in your life? You see, we struggle with the idea that there's someone, something, some being out there who has input, who has designed my steps and has designed the course on which I run. But you see, that's what it means to be creator. It means also to be designer, the one who has laid out the path. And sometimes you struggle with your issues and the difficulties you face because you really don't like the idea that someone else, someone outside of yourself, has any say over your life. But you see, if God is not the designer of your course in both its pleasant paths and its challenges, then He is not God, but you are. So is God God to you? Are your complaints about the life you're facing really an argument with God saying, God, I want to be God in my life. I don't want you to have any say over it. But you see, to reach your goal, the goal of the upward call of God in Christ, you must follow the course laid out for you. To achieve the prize to which we are running, we've looked at that in the past, but to achieve that, you must run according to the rules. So don't argue with the maker of the course. Now, I think at this point it's helpful to think about what unique claim Christianity makes. It helps us keep our minds right in this, because Christianity announces two things. Both that God is the creator, that is, He has designed the course you're running, but God is also the one who in His Son is purposing good through your life. And we need both of those things, don't we? Now imagine a God who is creator, who designs the course, but is not purposing good. Imagine how terrifying, how fearful that is to run the race before you. Many people believe in such a God who is powerful and sovereign, but is not tending toward my good, not interested in my good. And life becomes just a brutal hope that somehow He'll be kind to me today because I don't know what to expect tomorrow. But think of it the other way as well. What if God, and some people believe this, what if God is really kind and good and wants you to have every possible blessing, but He's not the designer of your course? He's not the one who controls your life. Well, then, God is just that buddy to help you along the way as you face random events in life. And what hope is that? No, we need both. We need a God who is creator, who is designer, who is in charge, who is powerful. But we also need a God who is good and kind and is planning in Christ our good, the good of for that our lives will tend to His glory, the good that our lives will bring benefit to others and to the world. But yes, the good that God has designed for your good. He is planning everything for your good. You see, and that's what Christianity holds out. The God in Christ, God who has revealed Himself through Christ, is a God who is creator and redeemer, who loves you. And so what does that mean? That at every moment, if you are in Christ, if you trust in Him alone and rest in Him for salvation, that every moment, everything that you face, every calm and good day for your rest and enjoyment, and every struggle you face has come specifically because God is in control, but also God is purposing your good. And God is working for good through your life, in your life, for your life. He's able to do that because He's powerful enough. He's creator. He is promised to do that because He's sent His Son. So why are you arguing with Him when you face trial and trouble and difficulty? Number one, don't argue with the maker of the course. Now, that's just the first thing, though. That's not everything, but that sets our attitude. Now, what is the second thing when we face trouble and difficulty in the Christian life? What's the second guideline in that time? The second thing is this: recognize that failing an obstacle does not disqualify you from the race. Failing an obstacle does not disqualify you from the race. Failure does not equal disqualification. I think many Christians get this wrong about the Christian life. They think Christ saved me, and now it's my job to hold on to my salvation, to perform in such a way to prove that I was worth saving, to not lose my salvation. We think I need to be worthy of the salvation I received, or I will lose it. And you see, that kind of thinking leads to the swinging of emotions of being on top of the world when things are going well and I'm performing well, but going down into the depths and into despair when I fail. Now, it is important that we're called to a life of holiness. Don't hear that wrongly. It is important that we are called to put off sin and to put on Christ, put off the old person with its desires and choices and put on the new person. But don't believe the lie that failing a particular obstacle disqualifies you from the race. Think about the obstacle course. There are, over 3 miles, there are 20 obstacles in the path. And what happens when you get to those monkey bars and you're halfway across and your grip strength gives out? And you drop to the ground. You fail that obstacle. What now? Do you pack up and go home? Is the race over? Is your goal to get to the end completely destroyed at that moment? No, because the designers of that course have provided a way for you to keep moving toward your goal, even though you have failed this obstacle. Now, in that race, you go over to the side. You acknowledge that you failed and you can't complete that test, but you go to the side and you do an exercise penalty. It's an exercise race, so you do an exercise penalty. It's 30 burpees, for those of you who know what that is. It's an exercise. Maybe somebody, one of the guys last night was showing everybody what a burpee was, but it's a push-up squat kind of thing. So you do 30 of those, and then you can move on. But here's the point. No matter what happens in the obstacle, whether you complete it successfully and just keep on moving, or whether you fail that obstacle, there's still a way forward toward the goal. It might come through some additional consequences, but there's a way forward. It doesn't rule you out. It doesn't call you fake, a false runner. And this is very important for us in the Christian life. A guideline to help us to face trouble and difficulty. Because you see, our identity is never to be found or can be found in our performance. We want to perform well. We work to perform well. We desire to perform well. But our identity is never found in the fact that we perform well. Our identity must remain rooted in Christ and what He has done for us. So what happens when I fail, when I face that temptation again and fall and sin? When I face sexual temptation and fail? When I become angry in a sinful way and lash out at someone? When I am tempted to greed and I steal from my employer? When I don't love my neighbor as I ought to love my neighbor? What happens when I face that same struggle again that I faced over and over again, and once again I fall and I fail to live the way I ought to live, the way I want to live in my better moments? What then? Is it over for me? Has God rejected me? Will He now abandon me? You see, remembering this guideline will help me continue toward the goal. My identity is in Christ, not in my performance in any moment in the race. Don't let failure determine your view of yourself. Recognize it is something that has happened. Take it honestly. Deal with it adequately. But it does not define you. Do not let it define you. Your identity as a Christian is Jesus Christ. If you're resting in Him and Him alone for salvation, He is your hope. He is your salvation. He is your identity. He is your assurance. And your failure to live as you ought to live, you shouldn't desire to live wrongly, but your failure to live as you ought to live does not put your standing before God in jeopardy. You're not disqualified by your failure, but like the Spartan race, God does provide a way forward when you fail. You must own up to your failure, your sin. Accept, acknowledge God's judgment about your conduct. Confess your part in your failure. Repent of that. Put your faith in Christ. Try to look at ways you can change in the future. Deal with the consequences that have come in your own life. If you fall into sexual temptation, there might be impact in your own body. There might be impact in the lives of others. Deal with those really and honestly. But do you see, there is a way forward because God has not rejected you in your failure. That's what King David is doing in Psalm 51, isn't it? He's confessing his sin. He's recognizing that what God's word says about his conduct and his life is right, and he has been judged by it, and God is right to find him failing and full of fault before his holy throne. But he doesn't say, I shouldn't be king now. And he doesn't say, there's no hope for me. No, he accepts, he acknowledges his sin. And he pours out his heart to God. And he asks God to create in him a new heart. And he does what is necessary in the Christian life to continue toward the goal of the prize, for the prize in Christ Jesus. You see, I think we need as Christians to learn how to deal with failure. It's exactly what runners do and what we need to do. They pay the penalty and they move on. They learn to look past their failures and to continue to pursue the prize. And what that means for you is to don't believe the lie that because you have failed to be what you should be, that now there is no hope for you to reach the goal. Failure in an obstacle, failure in a time of difficulty, failure in opposition, failure in the struggles of life does not mean disqualification automatically. Peter fails. He denies Christ 3 times after having received such grace. But he's not rejected. Judas gives up the race. He doesn't acknowledge. He doesn't accept the penalty. He doesn't come back to Christ. He doesn't confess his sin. And he's disqualified from the race. Only that will do it. But there is a way through when you fail to keep going toward the goal. Don't argue with the maker of the course. That's one. Don't think. Recognize that failing an obstacle does not mean automatically now I'm disqualified from the race. That brings us to guideline 3. What's the third guideline? Don't give up. Do not give up. When you fall into a sin, especially one that you've faced before and failed again, it's easy to lose heart and to say that, what's the use? I just never seem to be getting better. But look at seasoned racers on an obstacle course. They learn something very early in their career. They learn that obstacles are hard. Obstacles are tough. And try as they might, even top elite runners, the champions in the field, even they fail obstacles on any given day. Even ones that they often usually can complete successfully, they still fail because they're hard, they're challenging, they're difficult. Sometimes as you get to know some of the racers and you watch them, you'll find out they have certain areas of weakness, certain tendencies to fail at similar types of obstacles. A spear throw, you throw a spear, it has to hit a target and stay in the target or else you have to do the burpees. And there's some racers that every time they come to that, it's a challenge. They can whip through all kinds of other obstacles, but that one they struggle with. You know, and when we see that, we don't tend to say, or here, we tend to say this. They have a hard time with that obstacle, but you know, that's hard. I would struggle with that too. Or we think, well, this is one they really need to focus on. They need to learn the motor movements. They need to practice that. They need to figure out what they're doing wrong, and they need to really work on that so they can do that better. Or they say, they just need to figure this out. They need to be ready to do the burpees because they're going to fail this when it comes up. You know, we see that in obstacle course race, but we really say, you know, why do they even run? They shouldn't be a race. They shouldn't run this race at all. But you know, we're so much less gracious with ourselves as Christians and with one another, aren't we? What do we tend to do when we fail again? We tend to say, how can I even be a Christian? There's no way I belong in this race. I just, every time I come to this, I fail, I struggle, I just don't seem to be getting better. How can God love me when I struggle in this kind of obstacle every time? But you see what that's doing? That's denying the power of God at work in me to continue to do what he's promised to do, to bring me more and more into his image, to continue what he's begun even until that day when he perfects what he has done. So how do we go on when we failed again? Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't get down on yourself. Don't lose heart. Don't wallow in your failure. When the way gets hard, when you get weary of the race, when you fail to trust the Lord again, don't give up. That's guideline number three. Don't argue with the maker of the course. That's one. Don't think that when you fail, it's important to try to grow, but don't think that when you fail, you're automatically disqualified. And when the way gets hard, don't give up. But there's one more thing, a fourth guideline in the midst of struggles and difficulties that I want you to remember from here that Paul is showing us he's doing. Guideline number four in the midst of trials and struggles is this. Seek to gain wisdom from the obstacles you face. Seek to gain wisdom from the obstacles you face. Obstacles do tend to wear us out. Troubles and difficulties can demoralize us. They do that physically, they can do that spiritually. But do you know, obstacles also give us an important opportunity to gain wisdom. Wisdom that we deeply need as we continue this race of the Christian life. And the development of wisdom, true biblical wisdom, the development of that wisdom comes only by long reflection and consideration on both our successes in the Christian life, the times that we have trusted in the Lord and we have lived by faith, and our failures, where we have messed it up. Where we have not trusted the Lord in the midst of a struggle. Where we have dropped off the bar. As we consider and meditate and reflect on those experiences the Lord has brought to us, it is in that way, and it's one of the key benefits to us, is that we can begin to develop a biblical kind of wisdom for the continuing race. During the trial, it's often really difficult to think about it that way. Sometimes we have to wait until a very difficult, trying time has passed before we can reflect to any benefit. But such times are opportunities for us to gain wisdom. So seek to gain the wisdom you need from the obstacles you face. Is it a strong temptation that you face? Is it an unjust act by somebody else that is impacting you? Is it a painful experience in a broken, disjointed world? How did you respond to it? How did you fare in the midst of that trial? What obstacles were easy for you to trust the Lord through, but which ones were really hard? Where did you struggle to trust the Lord? Where did you fail to trust the Lord? What types of obstacles? Do you find a pattern in your discipleship of success in certain types of areas, but failures in others? What can you learn from that? How can you improve? How can you change that? You see, here's the thing. If our identity is in Christ, not in our performance, if our identity is secure in God's grace, and it's not found, we don't get it from what our performance is and our success or failure, if that's not indicating our acceptance or disacceptance from God or rejection by God, but if it's found in Christ alone, then we can honestly look at our performance. If our performance isn't the thing that qualifies us before God, but if Christ does, then we can honestly look at our performance and evaluate it and gain wisdom. That's exactly what runners do, isn't it? They look back at their race and they say, where did I do well? Where did I fail? What weaknesses were exposed? And the Christian, likewise, in the security of God's grace and hope of the gospel and trust of the gospel, can do the same, can ask those same kind of questions of his or her spiritual life. What false ideas about the Christian life did this difficulty reveal in my heart? What functional idols have I been serving in my life? Has it been money or sexuality or pleasure or my own reputation or the applause and acceptance of my peers? Has that been what's really been moving me? Has this trial, this difficulty really shown that my heart is seeking that, not the Lord? I'm not pursuing the right end. You see, the trials expose those things in our life. They expose what we love, what we long for. They expose our readiness, our spiritual readiness to face opposition and trial. And what has it shown about you? Take time to seek to gain wisdom from the obstacles you face. Do you want to be someone who rejoices in the Lord? That's the big picture here we're talking about. How to be a people who rejoices in the Lord. Then learn these specific guidelines in times of trouble and difficulty. So that this is different than what you might hear. Here's how you overcome problems. No, it's different than that. What Paul is showing us here is how to face every obstacle in life, whether we succeed or we fail. Sure, we desire to succeed. Sure, we want to succeed. Next time we're going to talk about the specific guidelines when we do succeed, to keep going toward the goal. But whether we succeed or we fail, how do we continue to pursue the goal before us? Forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I hope these four guidelines help you when you face trouble and difficulty. Father, the trials and struggles we face, the opposition we face for the sake of the name of Christ, and just the weariness that we run into living in a world full of brokenness and danger. We confess it's difficult. Why are we surprised that obstacles are hard? Why are we surprised when troubles are difficult? We surprise ourselves again when we fail to be what we want to be. But Lord, we're so thankful for the gospel that doesn't say, get your life right and then I'll love you. But it says, I love you. I have made you my own. So run with joy and freedom. But when you fail, I will not forget you. I will not let you go. Neither death nor life, success nor failure will separate you from me. So Lord, let us know that. And let us learn these principles. And when we struggle, and when we fail, help us to pursue the goal by forgetting what's behind and straining toward what's ahead. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. We come to the table of the Lord this morning. Let me ask those distributing the elements to come up. And we come to a table that Jesus instituted on the night in which he was betrayed, the night he went to the cross. This table is for those who are in him. That is, who have put their faith in him alone for their salvation, who've made public profession of that faith to others and have been received into the body of the fellowship of a believing church. This shows us that our hope is not in how well we love God, but that He first loved us. So if you are in Him, come and receive it with joy and thanksgiving. The sign and seal of His work for you, His death, which will be yours. So also His life to come, which is yours too. If you're not a Christian this morning, if you haven't confessed the name of Jesus Christ, let this part pass from past. Just take the plate and pass it to the next person. And don't take it today, but let it urge you to listen, to hear, to learn about the good news of the gospel, that God, who is your maker, is also the one who offers you good through Christ. If you're a Christian this morning, as the elements are passed, perhaps you might consider, what is your present experience in following Christ today? Are you facing a particular difficult time and struggle? Then pick one of the guidelines today and consider it as the elements are passed. Where do you need to stop arguing with God, your Maker? Where do you need to stop blaming yourself that the obstacle you face is hard? Where do you need to stop doubting the Lord's work in your life and start believing His word and His promise? Or what can you learn about yourself, and what can you learn about your Savior in the midst of your struggle and even in your failures? You might consider one of these things as you come and announce to the world together as a family of His people that our hope is in Him. Let's pray.